This is Desiring God Behind the Blog, our Olympic edition, where we have a veritable decathlon of updates here for you. Let's start with Tony Ranke. Tony, you made a recent trip to Philadelphia. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I did. Spent the day with CCEF folks and interviewed Richard Gaffin, David Pallison, and Ed Welch on the topic of sanctification in a number of clips that we'll be publishing on the blog soon.
Oh, very good. Look forward to seeing those. Yeah. Tell us about today's post, 20 quotes from Kevin DeYoung's book.
Yeah, Kevin DeYoung's book comes out at the end of the month. August 31st, I think, is the published date.
And, title?
The Hole in Our Holiness. Mm-hmm. And just typical with these posts, I just read through and picked up on 20 quotes that I thought gave a really good flavor of the book and published those this morning on the blog.
Good book.
It is.
Oh, very, very good. Excellent. Also, you recently did a post called Does God Love Us by Sending Us Pain? Where did that come from?
Yeah, this developed out of a Slate magazine article that I saw online. Slate had published a very positive piece about parental discipline in the home, and it may not be so bad as, you know, people have made it out to be. And I just went into the archives to see what Pastor John has said about discipline over the years and found a couple of interviews that he had done and a blog piece and a sermon, and sort of collected one of the themes that he brings out, which is if we don't understand how God brings memorable pain into our lives, if we don't understand that aspect of our own discipline with the Lord, that will not translate into how we discipline our children. We have to understand how the Lord deals with us, and that then informs how we deal with our children. And so I used the Slate piece to sort of springboard into that discussion.
I remember you mentioning a distinction between hurting a child in love and harming a child.
Yeah, that's a Douglas Wilson distinction. Hurting and harming are definitely different categories. In fact, Pastor John points out in a number of interviews that he's done that the word spanking was actually developed to distinguish it from all other forms of physical contact and abuse. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, very, very distinct.
That's helpful. Thank you. Let's talk Psalms with Jonathan Parnell. A couple different Psalms projects you've been working on recently. Tell us about the fresh idea from this morning.
Yeah, the first was just we want to keep our Twitter always fresh and just thinking of, you know, we want to, what's the best way to start the day on Twitter? And thinking of now just tweeting a line from the Psalms. Mm-hmm. So every morning, first tweet of the day early, we'll do a line from the Psalms and just do that indefinitely.
What is our early tweet? What is there a certain time range we're looking to post that during? Or?
Before 8 a.m., okay. I'd imagine. Yeah.
Also, you did a recent post on Psalm 91 and why we do not have to fear terror. Where did that come from?
Sure. Well, Psalm 91 has been the fodder verses for the past few weeks. Trying to memorize the entire chapter here as a church and those who do the fodder verses program. And so I was preparing a devotional for Psalm 91 verses 5 and 6 and was really looking deep and trying to figure out what does this psalm mean and how does it apply to us. And that's a challenge in the psalms sometimes. You see these psalms that are clearly, they're about someone else.
Right.
And this is about Jesus. And Satan knew it was about Jesus. In Matthew 4, mm-hmm. Satan quotes this psalm as, hey, this is about you and prove it. And so just looking at this psalm and thinking how it applies to us and seeing that the terror that the psalm promises that we're not going to face only makes sense for us because Jesus walked through that terror and he trusted the Father and he was faithful. And because of what Christ has accomplished, what he's done, then we also can not fear terror because of Jesus. And there's actually a story behind this related to your post on Jesus and the wild animals, which is about Mark 1, about that little line, Mark 1, verse 12.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, it's funny how these posts can start in the craziest ways. It had been months, if not over a year ago, that I'd been reading through Mark chapter 1, saw that line about Jesus with the wild animals, had some thoughts on wanting to write it up, but it kind of just sat in a document waiting for a time to put some flesh on it. And our guy, Stu Hanberg, who was working as a graphic artist for us, had his last day here recently, was transitioning, and he mentioned that he always wanted to do a graphic of a velociraptor.
That's right.
I said, well, I got an idea for a post that relates to a possible velociraptor. So started putting together this Jesus and the Wild Animal post from Mark chapter 1. And actually, when Stu did the graphic, he ended up having a T-Rex in the graphic, right? But anyway.
Was it?
Okay. So you sent along the idea from Psalm 91, which confirmed and helped my post right before it was about to go publish. We were on a draft version, able to add that in. And so that's the post, Jesus and the Wild Animals. You see how these things are team project.
I think even before that, one of the streams was we were talking about the American phenomenon of owning exotic animals.
That's right.
A documentary about that, people owning lions and tigers and bears. And we were talking about that, and then this Mark 1 thought
That's right.
came up, and then Stu's talking about velociraptors, and there you have it. Two posts on the DG
blog. The Bible is amazingly relevant. As we move from one conversation into these desires, and the Bible will be able to speak into it. That was Jesus and the Wild Animals. Another one, a little behind-the-scenes story on a post recently. Josh Etter, who is our communications director here, sent us all an email about a sermon series Pastor John had done in 1992 during the Barcelona Games called Olympic Spirituality. And there is an outstanding section that is trans-relevant, trans-Olympically relevant, and applied to London 2012. And so we did a little post there about how to watch the Olympic Games. And we have some more posts coming out that are Olympic-relevant here in the coming
days. Right, David. Three posts have been put together from that sermon that we'll be posting the next couple weeks on the blog.
So. Looking forward to that. Some quick further updates for you. We do have the ebooks continuing to come out on the biographies. There's a sanctification ebook. Tony's got a disability ebook coming up as well. Tony, tell us about that.
Yeah, it's four sermons that Pastor John has done, three on John 9, one on John 5, and the interview that Pastor John and John Knight did in 2011, which is just one of the most profound things that I've ever seen, and it's been transcribed, and then that transcript has been edited and expanded and clarified in places, and that's been included in the ebook as well.
Excellent. And November 8 is the Desiring God Disability Conference.
That's right.
Here in the Twin Cities. Also, we're continuing to post clips from the interviews with Jab Packer, Trip Lee, Justin Buzzard, Rachel Jones. Check out the two interviews between John Piper and Tim Keller on sanctification that we posted recently. Those are outstanding. And then Bob Glenn was here in the studio and recorded a few with Pastor Piper recently. We may have some more coming out, but there's a few already there. Also, August 24 and 25, hope you're able to join us for the Free Pleasures of God seminar here in town. And there's another one coming up November 2 and 3 on Hunger for God. We'll be at the Bethlehem North Campus in Moundsview, the north part of the Twin Cities Metro. Thank you for joining us on Behind the Blog.